I'm so delighted tonight. I've got my sister and brother here in the Lord, Pastor Sherry Gaines and her husband Bill. And these have been great friends of mine, people I admire greatly. I watch and I admire for now 30 years. 30 years. Because you came under Pastor in 87 too, didn't you? We all came to under Pastor Callan at the same time in 1987. Had you been there when he became pastor of the church? I want you to hear this. In 1987, Patty and I decided to change churches to this Assembly of God church. And we had gone 1 week. Patty and I disagree with this, but I have a better memory. We'd gone 1 week and heard one of the assistant pastors ministering. And the next week they brought in this guy they were trying out to see if he would be the new pastor. And it was Pastor Ron Callahan. And that was the week you came. First time. So we were a week apart. And we both came to the same church at the same time, had the same heart for God. And we've been together now 30 years. And so a woman of God, a woman of faith, a woman of the Word. And so I know she's got something to speak to us tonight. So stand your feet with me. Let's welcome Pastor Sherry Gaines.
Thank you, Pastor Jack. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. It's good to be here with family tonight. Bill and I, we love you all so much. And it's always exciting to be here with you. And like Pastor Jack said, been together for 30 years. Doesn't seem like 30 years. And yet we've watched each other's children grow up. Amen. Children grow up. His kids have been at my house as much as my kids were at their house. And we just love it. Prayed a lot of hours with Pastor Jack. Morning intercessory prayer. And that's what I get to teach on tonight. It's one of my many favorite subjects. And that's prayer. You know, I was thinking about this when Pastor Jack asked me to teach on prayer and intercession. It's been over 20 years that we've been hosting the Intercessors Conference in Louisville. 20 years, yeah. And I don't think we've ever repeated a message in prayer and intercession, going to other prayer conferences. The subject's just so big, you know? And so much fun to study, even more fun to practice it. And all I could do is just hear from God and say, all right, God, what do you want to bring tonight to the people? And we're going to start out, we're going to talk about our personal prayer life, and then we're going to end on talking about intercession. And let me say this. Your personal prayer life is going to enhance your intercession. Your personal prayer life is going to give you that face-to-face relationship with God that will enhance you going deeper in your intercession. Now, I will say this, that doesn't mean you can't intercede without a personal prayer life, but I'm not here to teach you how to intercede without that. I was thinking when I was studying this, when I was first born again the second time, we had just had Billy, my oldest son. We were living in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Given my life back to Jesus, I had, in being born again as a young girl, I never interceded. I was just a Christian. But I had heard about intercession. My grandmother was an intercessor, and they'd use that term praying through. And so I knew about praying through. And I didn't have a prayer life, hadn't been taught yet, didn't know how to have a prayer life, how to have a word life. But I was awoken in the middle of the night, and I saw a young man, my brother, and he was out in a field, and he was trying to get on a helicopter and leave. So I'm seeing this. I said I woke up. I don't know if I woke up, if I was dreaming it, if it was a vision. And I just began to pray in tongues until I felt like I was through and fell asleep. And I woke up the next morning, and I'm thinking, man, what did I eat before I went to bed last night? Well, a couple days later, my brother called me. And as soon as I heard his voice, I remembered just a few nights ago what I had experienced. And I said, Bill, 2 days ago, where were you? Well, he was a Navy SEAL or worked with the Navy SEALs, and he couldn't tell us about his missions. I said, all right, let me tell you what I saw. I described to him what I saw, described to him why there was gunfire. I saw gunfire. And he got on that helicopter, and he just said, sis, that's exactly what happened. And it was shortly after that he got born again. And, you know, so someone, if they're just yielded, God will use them in intercession and do mighty things in the earth. In fact, he's got to have the intercessors to do what he wants to do in the earth. Prayer is that connection between earth and heaven to get what we need done in this earth. Now, let's talk about this prayer life. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, and verse 9, it says here, I'm going to read it through verse 13, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I know how you're taught here, so I'm sure you already know this. But let me go ahead and say this. We don't know where all the tapes are going to go to. But this is not a prayer that we're to pray. It's an outline to prayer. This is an outline to show us how to pray. He's saying, this is how you're going to pray. Now, I didn't always know that. I'd go to bed at night, and before I'd go to sleep, I'd lay there, and I'd recite this prayer. In fact, I got really, really fast at it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Almost sounded like tongues, amen? But as an outline to prayer. And you'll see the first thing that he tells us to do is he tells us to worship the Lord. You know, we worship the Lord. We spend time worshiping him. Now, there's no formula. I'm not going to teach you a formula to prayer. At any time that you need to talk to God, you can just stop right where you're at and just talk to him about the matter that you need to talk to him. Amen? But my prayer time, say prayer time. I like to start my prayer time with worship. I like to enter into that time where I'm just loving on him and giving him praise and giving him glory, amen, and just enter in that way. And I highly recommend that. But again, as I'm teaching you what I teach you tonight, I want you to remember all the way through this, anytime you need to talk to God, no matter where you're at, whether it's the middle of Walmart, the middle of the night, or at the gas station, you stop wherever you're at and you can talk to God about whatever matter you need to talk to him about. But you do need to have that prayer time. You need to have that time that is set aside. That's where it's just that time of communion between you and God. We're going to talk about that face-to-face time. It's that time where you're getting business taken care of that needs to be taken care of. And so you need that time set aside. And it's whatever your best time is that you can give to him. For some, it's in the morning. For some, it's at night. It may be in the middle of the afternoon. But you find that time that you can set aside that is just you and God. Turn off your phone. Turn off all interruptions and just let that be your time with God right there. Now, so you spend some time worshiping him. And then he goes on and he says here, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This place in prayer with him is how you're going to find the will of God. God's got a plan for your life. He created a destiny before you were ever born. And that will, it's what you're created for. It is your purpose. And to find your purpose, and not just the big picture, but every step that you need to take every day along the way, you're going to find that in the place of prayer. It's in that place of communication with him that he will lay out before you. See, you know, he's not going to give you, if you hadn't figured this out by now, he's not going to give you every step up front. He keeps us coming back, to get the details. Hold your place here and go with me to Colossians chapter 1. And verse 9, he says, "For this cause also, since the day we first heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, certainly Paul is praying this over the church of Colossae. I pray that over my congregation, over my family, but I also pray it over my own life. But beyond just praying it over my own life, we seek God for that. He says that our heart be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and understanding. We want to know what his will is for us. We want his purpose defined to us. But we want to get the details of it, the understanding of it, and then the application of it. That's the wisdom on how to walk it out. And again, he won't give it to us up front. But I had God tell me this many, many years ago. I was wanting to make sure I was in the middle of his will. And he says, "Sherry, seek my will for the day. And if you feel my will for the day, you'll come at the end of the week and you'll find that you've been in my will all week long. You'll come to the end of a month and see that you've been in my will all month long. You'll come to the end of a year and you'll see you've been in my will all year long. You'll come to the end of a lifetime and you'll find that you have fulfilled destiny." And so you get that time with him where each morning you get your day arranged by him and get the details. Amen? Hallelujah. Go back over there to Matthew chapter 6. And verse 11, he says, "And give us this day our daily bread." Now, most certainly, if we're at a place in our life, I'd been there, where I would just need to believe God for food on the table that day. "Lord, give me this day my daily bread." That's where our faith was, to believe God daily for food on our table. Well, we're not there anymore. Amen? And there's more to it than this. There's the bread of life. And God has revelation in his word for you on a day-to-day basis. He's got a fresh word for you for each day. Man, I tell you what, you get in his presence and you say, "God, I want a word today. I know you want to speak to me today out of your word." See, when you go into your prayer time, take your Bible there. Take your notebook there. Amen. Because God's going to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you. Yes, he's going to speak to you in your heart. You've been designed to know his voice, but he's also going to speak to you through his word. So have the word there. Amen? And we're going to see that we're going to expect to hear from him in another dimension, and you want your pen and paper there. Because if he talks to you, and he does, right? We want to write it down. I got to write it down. Amen? And so go with me to Ephesians 1. Again, hold your place here. In verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And we could go through all of this, but time won't allow it tonight. But again, this is Paul praying over the church of Ephesus. I'm sure your pastor prays this over you. I pray it over my church, but I also pray it over my life, that I have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. God, I want revelation out of that word today. I want my eyes of understanding open, that I can see something fresh and new that's going to direct my life, that's going to feed my faith. You know, we're faith people, right? So we know Romans 10:17, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that word there is rhema, revelation. So we want that fresh revelation, that fresh word for today, that word in due season that's going to take our faith to the next level. And certainly, certainly we get that by meditating on the word, but we go after it. God, talk to me in your word today. I'm going to open up this word, and you're going to speak to me through this word. You incorporate this in your prayer time. Amen. Back over there at Matthew chapter 6. You know, and there in Ephesians 1 where we're at, he says it's revelation knowledge of him. So it's getting revelation knowledge of who he is. And as we're getting revelation knowledge of who he is, then we're getting revelation knowledge of who we are. And then we're getting revelation of what we're called to and the kind of power that we have and the kind of authority that we have. Glory to God. That is prayer and the word working together in our lives. Now, again, over here in Matthew chapter 6, and he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's that place of forgiveness. Now, I tell on myself, I knew that, and I knew that was a part of the Lord's Prayer, as we called it in those days. And so I wanted to make sure I had forgiveness. So every single day, I'd ask God to forgive me. If there were known things, I would ask him, of course, to forgive me of the known things. But there were some days that I didn't know of anything. So I said, God, forgive me of the things that I didn't know I did. And then I got a clue. If I did anything, he was going to let me know. So if you haven't come to this place yet, you will come to a place you won't have to ask for forgiveness every day. Amen. Now, when I first got born again, I had to ask for forgiveness multiple times through the day. And as I began to grow, it was then just multiple times through the week. And then multiple times through the month. And I have found that, you know, I can make it for long periods of times now and not have to ask God to forgive me of anything. Hallelujah. Amen. From faith to faith and glory to glory. But it is very necessary, and I would do it immediately. Don't let that thing hang on you. You messed up. Stop. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of that. And what's he tell us in 1 John 1:9? He's faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That right there is for the Christian. That's not for the sinner. That's for the Christian. He's talking to the believers. He's saying, when you sin, you ask for forgiveness, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he didn't just talk about our forgiveness. He's also talked about us forgiving others, did he not? Over in Mark chapter 11, go with me there. Very important. In Mark chapter 11, we see the prayer of faith here. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When shall you have them? When you pray, that's right. You pray and you believe you receive it when you prayed, and then you shall have them. But then it doesn't stop there. It says, and when you stand praying, forgive. Say forgive. Forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. So we like that 1 John 1:9. We want to be able to run to God anytime that we need to. And we're thankful that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there's a but there. I'm putting it in there. We have to make sure that we've forgiven anyone that's done any aught against us. Amen? We cannot afford to have any unforgiveness in our heart. And that's another, and when we want, if we want our prayers answered, we have got to forgive others. Understand, child of God, if there's any unforgiveness in our heart towards someone else, that's not hurting them. That's not doing anything to them. That's hurting us. You know, it's the silliest thing amongst some Christians, and or anyone for that matter, is when they hold unforgiveness, it's like they're taking a cup of poison and drinking it, thinking that it's going to harm someone else. How silly is that? But that's what unforgiveness is. It's that poison that we drink, and it destroys our lives. It doesn't hurt anyone else. So it's not worth it. And it keeps you victim to whatever they did. It keeps you connected to that thing. You just need to let it go. Let it go. Amen. And we're talking about having effective prayers. We want the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. But to have that effectual, fervent prayer, we cannot have any unforgiveness in our hearts. So we let it go. Say, let it go. Hallelujah. And then he goes on and says then, oh, let me get back over here to Matthew chapter 6. Nope, I'm through there. All right, we're done. All right, go with me to Matthew chapter 26. So in that outline of prayer, we see worship. We see it's in the place of prayer that we'll see his will come forth in our life. Revelation comes forth in our life. It's a place where we receive forgiveness and we declare forgiveness. And then in Matthew chapter 26, and over here in verse 40, it's a powerful truth that we find here. Now, this is when Jesus is praying in Gethsemane. And it says in verse 40, he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, would you not watch with me 1 hour? I'll talk about that in a minute. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I want you to understand that it's in this place of prayer that you will develop spiritual strength. When Jesus is letting them know here, he's saying, listen, disciples, if you have this prayer life established in your life, there's going to be a spiritual strength in your life that you'll be able to resist temptation. Amen? Without a prayer life, it's highly improbable that you're going to be able to resist temptation. Let me say that again. With a prayer life, you will have the spiritual strength you need to resist temptation. Temptation to sin, temptation to quit, temptation to draw back, any kind of temptation. Your prayer life will give you the strength to resist that. Without a prayer life, it's improbable that you'll be able to resist. Now, I'm going to meddle just a little bit here. Perhaps maybe this is Pastor Sherry's opinion. I'll let your pastor be the judge of this, okay? But when Jesus came to his disciples, he says, couldn't you pray but 1 hour? Now, I've heard it taught, and if your pastor teaches it this way, then he's right and I'm wrong, all right? But I'm just going to put my opinion out there and he can shut me down. But I've heard it taught, well, pray 15 minutes. Pray 20 minutes, 30 minutes. But I look at Jesus and he's saying, I see the minimum's an hour. All right, that moving right along. But as I look at what we need to accomplish in prayer, worship, and seeking the will of God, and we're going to look at intercession here and pushing in for revelation. We're going to talk a little bit here about that face-to-face intimacy with God. Man, you can hardly get that in an hour. Amen. All right, I'll move on. Say, I love you, Pastor Sherry. Say, keep challenging me, Pastor Sherry. Hallelujah. All right, so we see that in this personal prayer life, we gain spiritual strength that enables us to resist temptation. Here's another part that you incorporate in your personal prayer life. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. They get quiet in my church on that one, too. No? And that's the other part of it that you incorporate in your prayer life is that time in tongues, which we'll talk about that. So there's a lot to cover in prayer. And prayer is fun. It's an adventure. It's that time with God where you know that you know he's listening to you, and you get to hear him talk to you, and then we're going to find that we're going to be able to affect the lives of others, amen, affect the course of whole nations. Prayer is fun. We probably won't be able to get into all that, but I mean, prayer is just such a benefit and such a fun adventure in the kingdom of God. Now in Hebrews here in chapter 10 and verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the profession, be better translated, the confession, that's homologeo, saying the same thing as, of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. In your personal prayer life, this is what we're talking about right now. We're talking about your personal prayer life. Incorporated in that personal prayer life should be your time of confessing the word of God. Now, again, your word of faith. So I know you know that your confession's not just during that time. Amen. In fact, we are renewing our mind and retraining our tongues so that we're only saying what God says. By his stripes, I was healed. So we're the healed. Amen. We're tithers, so the devourer is rebuked, and he cannot come into our household. We're sowers. God's not mocked. Whatever we sow, we reap. All of our need is supplied according to his riches and glory. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and so on and so forth. But let me show you something here. Go with me to James chapter 3. There's a little truth out of James chapter 3 just built right into this verse that I love, and this chapter is about the tongue, but here in verse 6, it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Pastor Sherry, what good thing can you get out of that verse? Well, it is talking about the tongue that is untrained, amen? And we're taking the word of God and we're training our tongue to speak life. But there's something here built in this verse that it says here, it sets on fire the course of nature. And that word course there is a circuit of physical effects. It sets the course. It puts in motion. And so let's just say your best time of prayer is in the morning. And you get up in the morning and you're having time of worship and you're getting the plan of God for your life that day and pressing in for details where his will for your life is concerned. You're taking care of business with him as such, and then you enter into that time of confessing the word. He sent his word and healed me. By his stripes I was healed. He's forgiven me of all my iniquities and healed all my diseases. My God has supplied all my need according to his riches in glory. God's not mocked. Whatever I sow, I reap. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and so on and so forth. And what you're doing is you're setting your course for the day. Your tongue sets your course. Now you hold fast that confession the rest of the day, but you're setting the course for your health, the course for your finances, the course for your family, the course for your walk. You're setting your course for the day. Amen. By your tongue. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. And then there's the tongues. Say tongues. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Talking about your personal prayer time. This is about you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. That would be better translated. It can mean weakness of body, but it also means weakness of mind. And when we look at it within the verse here, it will make more sense to say weakness of mind. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, we'll refer to this when we get to intercession, but we've talked about the will of God for your life. You also need to know the will of God for your life. Amen? And we will pray this out for other people, but you need to know the will of God for your life. You need to be your best intercessor, interceding for yourself. And a part of finding that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven is going to require you praying in tongues, because you don't know the details. You don't know what they are. And so you go to God kind of like this: God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in this situation here. I don't know what the direction is I'm supposed to take. I need details on this, God. What you promised me, God, that you would make your way straight before my face. And I'm not quite sure how to pray about this. But Holy Spirit, you know how to pray. So I'm lifting this up right now. She be be ba ku sande le ba ba sando. Nenyende be 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 ki se toronde be site. And you spend that time praying in tongues, being very, very confident of this fact, that the Holy Spirit is praying the perfect will of God where your life is concerned. Now, where you're concerned, it's not going to remain a mystery. It may not be right then when you're praying. It may be when you're in the middle of doing something later in the day. It might even be next week, but it's going to drop down in your spirit. Ah, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm not supposed to do. This is the course I'm to take. This is what I'm supposed to say regarding that matter. Where did that come from? But it came from that time that you spent praying in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So then in your personal prayer time, you have that praying in tongues. We could go other places with that, but that's where we're going to go with that for tonight, because I have some other things I want to get to you here. Communion. This is my favorite. Communion. There's a song that I'm enjoying so much here lately by United Pursuit, and there's a place in it, and it says, I am unfulfilled without full communion. And that's the way it is for us believers, is we are unfulfilled without that full communion with God. But the beautiful thing is we never have to be without that full communion. Go with me to Exodus chapter 33. Pastor Jack was talking about how 30 years ago, God had brought us to Pastor Callahan. And as Bill and I begin to hear him teach, we begin to hear things we had never heard before. And the two things, and there's more than two things, but the first two things he ever taught that revolutionized our lives was, one, renewing our mind with the Word of God. I never knew there was such a thing. I thought how I thought was how I was, and that was it. And that changed everything. And the other was this face-to-face relationship with God that we could have. And my heart leaped, because it was like on the inside of me, that's what I waited all my life to hear, was this. And it marked me forever. And it was here in Exodus 33 that Pastor Callahan went to. And we'll pick it up in verse 7. It says, "And Moses took the tabernacle, and he pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp. And he called it the tabernacle of the congregation." Now, when we look at that in the original Hebrew, it's the Moabs. Now, let me tell you about the Moabs. Remember, I told you when we started that you need to have a prayer time, right? A time that's set aside. And Moses had this Moab. See, Moab in the Hebrew means an appointment. Like, if you would make an appointment with an attorney, that appointment's set. And it's so hard to get an appointment with that attorney, you're not going to miss it. You're going to make sure that you make that appointment. Amen? Now, praise God, if we break our appointment with God, we can meet with him anytime. But I want us to hear the importance of having that appointed time with God. If we would go a couple more chapters earlier, we will see how God said, this time here, this Moab time, he's saying it's sanctified by my glory. And we're going to see that's exactly what happens here. He says he comes in this appointed time, and he hovers over it with his glory. I bet you hear a lot about the glory in this place, don't you? Amen. Aren't we going to fill the earth with the glory of the Lord? Amen. We're the vessels. And so we can see how these appointed times are very, very vital to that. So he goes on, he says, "And Moses took the tabernacle, and he pitched it without the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp." So that meant everybody had the opportunity to seek after God in this place. And when you look at that word sought, I mean, it means you're craving him. You're requiring him. You want to meet with him. And it goes on, it says, "And it came to pass when everybody went out unto the tabernacle." It's not what it says, does it? "And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle." Isn't that sad? They all have the opportunity to go the same place that Moses is going. The invitation was to all of them to move in to this very special place with God. But he's the only one that we're seeing going in there. He's the only one that's going in there. The rest of them are staying at their own tent doors. See, that's their comfort zone. They're very, very comfortable there. You know, you gotta have a prayer time, and then there's the turning off the phone, and then there's that just pushing in deeper than you've ever gone before. But see, for us, that's an adventure. For us, that's what delights our heart, because we're going to get to meet face to face with God. But those folks, they just wanted to stay there at their tent doors. They didn't want to move into that place. And let's look and see what they missed, all right? Say, "I'm not missing it." "And it came to pass," verse 9, "as Moses entered into the tabernacle," just like God promised it would, "the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. That whole time there with God was being sanctified by the glory of God. It was just taking Moses in and separating him from everything else unto God himself. And that's the same thing that happens to us when we press into God like that. Oh, you may not see a cloudy pillar, but the glory is there sanctifying that time. You might see a cloudy pillar, but nonetheless, the glory of God is there making that separation of you unto him. Amen? Hallelujah. And the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent. You know, you'll see that happen in a church service so often. Now, you're all here tonight, so we're not talking about you, amen? We're not necessarily talking about people who are not here either. This is Mother's Day, and it's a day that we're honoring our moms. But you'll find, you know, the word says that you have the four different grounds, right? You got wayside soil, you got stony soil, you got the soil with the thorns that choke it out, and then you got the good soil. Amen? And certainly through progressing, we can progress from wayward soil, from stony soil, from the distractions into the good soil through spiritual growth. But we all know some folks never grow past the first soil or the second soil or the third soil, right? And so they'll come into a service and see, you know what God's going to do. You know God's going to show up. You're going to know what he's going to do, and you are set and ready. But others will be sitting back, and they'll get excited after the fact. But you're excited because you know what's going to happen. You're in on it. It's like this. The Israelites, they know the acts of God. But Moses knew the ways of God. Amen? And that's who we're talking about, is folks like you that are pressing in because you are determined you're going to always know the ways of God. And we see this here. So he goes on and he says in verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Ooh, I love this. Face to face. Say face to face. And he turned again into the camp. Now there was one other guy in there, and that was Joshua, the son of Nun. And he didn't depart from the tabernacle. Man, he was going to stay in there and lick up every residue of glory that was there. But we get a peek into the conversation Moses had with the Lord. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. That word, thy way, he says, I want to know your course of life, your mode of action. I want to know how you do things, God, that I may know thee and that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And so he went in there. He pressed in there to meet with him face to face. He pressed in there to know him more. He pressed in there to know his ways, not just his acts. And I love it because you go down to verse 18. Now remember, the glory cloud is there, right? And in verse 18, what does he say to God? Show me now your glory. Moses? You're in his glory. But see, he knew there was more because God's eternal. And he'll show us this amazing side of himself. Thank you. He shows us amazing side of himself, and that just thrills us that we know him more. But then it's like, all right, there's still more we don't know, and we want to know more. And God didn't say no. He said, all right, at this time, I want you to meet me up on the mountain. And he says, I'm going to show you more. Hallelujah. And this is our heart. And this is our opportunity. And our personal prayer life is that we get to meet with God face to face like this and know his way of doing things, knowing him more. Now, Moses, you'll notice what's going on there. He's not doing all the talking. He's also listening. Go with me to Isaiah 45. Actually, Isaiah 40. And verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So often it's easy to go in and we can do our tongue time. We can do our confessions. By his stripes we were healed. Thank you, you sent your word and healed me and delivered me. You supplied all my need according to your riches and glory. Oh, Father, fill my heart with the knowledge of your will. Give me the wisdom and the understanding to go with it. Make your way straight before my face, Lord. I give you praise. I give you glory. I love you. Hallelujah. Amen. Bye. Got to go to work. And he's like, he wants to talk to us. And we need to stop. And we need to wait. Because it's a relationship. It's a relationship. How would that work, you know, if you're married with your spouse in the morning? Just, hey, honey, doing this, I love you, bye. And never give you an opportunity to say anything back, right? Whether it's a spouse or it's a friend, there's got to be that two-way communication. I mean, after all, the whole purpose of this prayer life is to find the will of God and to get things accomplished, but to also get answers. And so we need to wait. And when we look at this word wait, it means to bind together. I just see that as just getting as close to him as possible. And it also means to expect. We're waiting because we're expecting to hear from him. And it means to look and to be patient. I like what Haggai said. He says, I'm going to see what God says. Because Haggai knew that when God speaks, he would now see what he couldn't see before. And when we're waiting on the Lord for him to speak to us, we will be able to see what we couldn't see before. So we want to wait on him. You're designed to hear his voice. That's how he created you, to hear his voice. It's in you to know his voice. And he wants to speak to you because he has the answers. And he just plain wants to love on you. Just to stop and let his presence come on you and embrace you and let him love on you. You spent time worshiping him and loving on him. Let him spend time loving on you. Amen. And so I know that was real quick and we didn't really cover everything, but that gives you a good idea of what I think our personal prayer life looks like. Did that help you? Can I talk to you about intercession? All right, go with me to Ezekiel chapter 22. And verse 30, it says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. It's unfortunate. We've all experienced it ourselves, I'm sure. But we know people who have allowed things to take place in their life that's created a breach that's created a gap between them and God. And as a result of their actions, a result of their choices, because of what they've done, not because of what God's doing, they're subject to destruction in their life. And they need somebody who will stand in the gap and make up the hedge to provide the protection, the mercy of God, the strength that they don't have on their own, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and for a way to be made back to where they should be, where God is concerned. Amen? And God has to have someone who'll stand in the gap. You know, there's been times that I'll have my schedule that's just so full. And I work very hard to be disciplined in my word life and in my prayer life. But you can have those days where, you know, maybe you get overextended. And I'll be doing something, and all of a sudden, I'll feel the strength come up on the inside of me. And there'll be this grace, the ability of God that'll come on me. And I know what happened. God just moved on someone else to intercede for me. And I said, God, whoever the intercessor is that stood up and prayed for me, oh, bless them, Lord. Amen. I'm thankful for them. And God's looking for people who will stand in the gap. I want to mention here, too, sometimes throughout your day or even in your prayer time, God will put someone on your heart to pray for. And let me ask you, does he always tell you what to pray? I mean, do you always know what you're praying about? No. Is it most times you don't know? Because you know what? It plain none of our business. And he's just looking for someone who'll be obedient and yield and will pray in tongues. Like we saw up there in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And say, Lord, you know, you put Robert on my heart. I don't know what he's facing today, but I'm lifting him up now before you. And you just pray. And the old timers say, pray through until you just feel it lift off of you. That's how I judge it anyways, until I know that I'm done. And most times I won't know. So don't try to figure it out. Don't try to guess. It's none of your business. Amen? It's just, you're just standing in the gap and you're praying so that they can have the supply that they need to get done for the day. Hallelujah. And in the upcoming days. But there's some other areas I want to talk to you about where your intercession is concerned that I think are very important. One, you have a responsibility in prayer for your church. And there's one particular area that I want to talk to you about because I think everything hinges on this and you'll see why. And that's that you pray that a door of utterance be opened before your pastor. Because everything that God does in the kingdom of God is going to be through prayer and through the word. And it is very, very necessary that there be a door of utterance that's open to your pastor. Paul realized this, and we find this at least two times that he asks the church, pray for me that God opens a door of utterance. And the first place that we'll look at it is in Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 19, Paul says, and for me, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. See, there'll be times that the minister will have a revelation burning in their heart, and they want to give that revelation. I mean, they can be back behind the pulpit, and they got this place they want to go, and they won't feel the the release to do that. I'm like, no, I can't share that yet. And there can be many reasons why not. And our prayers can make a difference on seeing that release in the body of Christ. Because see, where the apostle of this ministry is concerned, everything that God has put in his heart, I want every last bit of it. Where your pastor is concerned, everything that God has put in his heart, you want it all. You don't want any of it held back. And praying for this door of utterance to be open can make a difference. Some of the things that can hinder that utterance is there could be resistance. There can just be resistance in the congregation. And certainly we preachers know how to preach through that. But we intercessors can pray those walls of resistance down and get rid of those blocks there. Sometimes it can be timing, that it just may not seem like the time. And I understand that there may be some things that need to wait because of timing. But can we affect the timing of God? Oh, yeah, we can. Do you remember the Syrophoenician woman? See, the Syrophoenician woman was a Gentile. And her daughter needed healing. And she went to Jesus about the healing. And I'm paraphrasing, I know. But he's saying, well, you know, I came for the children of Israel. It's not your time yet. But she said, yeah, but you know, I'm looking at those children of Israel. And they're wasting some of what you're giving there. It's becoming crumbs underneath the table. And I'm making a demand on that. And it caused Jesus to move from one dispensation ahead of time into another dispensation for her to get her miracle. Oh, man. You be hungry and you be persistent. You can make a difference on timing. Amen. And I want all that God has for me now. I like now. I want it right now. Amen. Don't you want it right now? Glory to God. Another thing that can cause the resistance is if you remember, Paul, he went to the church of Corinth and he said, man, I got this revelation. I want to feed you. It's meat of the word, but I can only give you milk right now. And the only reason he could give them milk is because there was strife in the church and they were acting like a bunch of babies. And so what you do is you pray for the church. You come against the strife and you start praying for the spiritual growth in the people so that they can come up to a place so that the meat that's in his heart can be released, amen, and so that they can receive it. And so this utterance is so important. We see it again in Colossians chapter 4. We want to pray that for the minister's boldness. I know your pastor. There's none bolder than him. But hey, let's just pray he gets even bolder. Amen. We want to pray for the liberty of the anointing and the flow of the revelation. Here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Let me give this to you out of a few other translations. God's word says it this way. Pray that I make this mystery as clear as possible. This is what I have to do. Paul's saying, look, I'm on assignment. And I got a word here that I've got to manifest the people. This is what I've got to do. But I need you to pray the door of utterance will be open. Your pastor's on assignment. I know you know this. You're a Word of Faith Revivalist church. You know you're not here as your typical corner church to get us 3 points in a poem on Sunday morning or any other service. You're on assignment. He's on assignment. And he needs you to pray that those doors of utterance will be open so he will accomplish his assignment in you and Georgetown and everywhere else that God is taking him. Amen? Hallelujah. Another translation says, Murdoch says, that I may unfold it and utter it as it behooveth me. And another translation says, then I shall proclaim it fully as it is my duty to do. And so the minister saying, pray that I can just open this up and bring all this forth so that the people can receive it and hear it and the assignment can be accomplished. And we have a responsibility to pray for those doors of utterance to be open. This is vital to your church. And then we move on from there, and the word that comes forth, we pray over that word. Look with me over at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 1, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, say free course, and be glorified even as it is with you. Now, certainly it means that it just keeps going forward. Free course means to run rapidly, to go forward, and to spread. But we want it to have its course in the people who are hearing it, and that it have its course quickly. We know that we are called to be not just hearers, but doers of the word, and we want to be of quick understanding. Oh, I can remember those days, and I just kick myself in the butt that I ever had those days, that I'd hear a word from God. It was the very word I needed. It came out of my pastor's mouth, and it'd be that word. Well, I'll get to that. I'll get to that. And a week would pass by, and I hadn't got to it. And a month would pass by, and I hadn't got to it. That word needed to have free course in my life. I need to get it now and let it run its course in my life now if I want the results of that word. Amen? And we're in on this corporately together. So we help one another as we pray for one another over the current word that's coming forth. Lord, what pastor's teaching on this hyper grace, the people hear this and their spirit man's alert. And they're aware of what's going on, and they put those guards on their heart, Lord, that they have an understanding and an awareness. And Lord, let this word just take its full course. And if there's any residue in them of this hyper grace, that this word just has its free course in their life and washes it out and gets them free from it. And we take that word and we pray over that word where the people are concerned. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Isn't this fun? Isn't it fun to see what we can get accomplished? Like I said, everything in the kingdom is through prayer and the word, beginning to end, praying for the utterance and praying for the word to have its course. You don't need to turn there, but it says in Matthew 16, verses 17 and 18, Jesus said unto him, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The rock he's talking about is the fact that Peter got revelation. He says, Peter, what you heard wasn't given to you by flesh and blood. You got revelation of the word. And this is how I build my church. By the revelation of the word. And it makes them so powerful, there's nothing in hell that can withstand it. We're taking over everything. And that's why it's so vital that we have a responsibility to pray that the door of utterance would be open and that the word would have its free course in the life of the people of this body. Glory to God. And then just a couple other things that I just want to drop in here, just a couple nuggets. One, praying for the harvest of people. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. I'm not going to spend time on this. I just want to give it to you. In verse 2, it says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I used to get real frustrated in intercession because I'd get to the end of intercession and I'd go in with the intention that I was going to pray about the harvest, that the Lord would prepare the harvest, and that those sinners would get saved and get in here, and you know. But I kept praying for the church. It seemed like everything was focused on the church. And then I saw this. He said, we don't have a harvest problem. He says, we have a labor problem. He says, you need to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth the laborers. Now, I'm not saying that we don't pray for the sinners. But don't get frustrated when you find you're spending more time praying for the church, who is the laborers that go out and bring in the harvest, because the harvest is ready. But we want the laborers sent forth. That's one nugget I wanted to give you. And one other, 2 Chronicles 7:14, I know you know it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. You know, we want wickedness shut down out there. It's got to be shut down in the church. Amen? And then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto prayer that is made in this place. My goodness, look what we've accomplished so far. Hallelujah, and we're not going to stop. We pray that we have godly leadership. We continue to pray for godly leadership. We pray for the bills that need to be passed and the bills that need to be struck down. We pray for protection over our leadership. We pray for revival in our nation. Amen. Amen. We pray and we watch God heal our land. And that's, I could spend another hour teaching on that. But my time's about up right here. But those are the things that I wanted to deposit in you. It's your personal prayer life. How it's going to move you into all that God has for you and cause you to know Him better than you know your best friend. Amen. And have His heart revealed to you and His ways and making a difference in people's lives and seeing the purpose of your church fulfilled because of your intercession. Amen? Amen? Did you get anything out of that? Would you stand to your feet?
Hallelujah. It's been rich, hasn't it? I mean, we had Pastor Carter 2 weeks ago on the Greek, Pastor Nancy last week on the prophetic, Pastor Sherry tonight on prayer. But as she was teaching tonight, and understand, she poured out her heart to us tonight about prayer. And Pastor Sherry's been really the chief intercessor of Grace Ministries for 25 years. She's been the one we look to for prayer, the one that's taken the point in prayer for our ministry. And we're talking about 30 years of experience and knowledge or more on this topic. And 30 years of it in revival. And I got to thinking about how I'm reading a book. I've been reading it for some time. I just read a few chapters at a time. Written by Lester Sumrall. Do you guys know who Lester Sumrall was? He's passed away now. Lester Sumrall was a prayer warrior. A revival leader. Really for most of the 1900s. And got to know everybody in the faith realm and the Pentecostal movement going way back. He was mentored by Smith Wigglesworth. And in fact, we got to hear him about a year or two before he died. He came to our church and spoke for, 2 hours? And opened his heart up and just talked to us about revival and about God. And I'll never forget that night. And he wrote a book of biographies of people he knew, revival leaders, over his lifetime, including Smith Wigglesworth. You name the name, it's probably in that book, including people you never heard of. And he wrote a little bit about his meeting with them, about what their works were, some of their biography, some of them where they made mistakes. But it was people of significance worldwide. I'm talking from different countries worldwide that impacted the world. And you remember the meetings with them. And as Pastor Sherry was teaching, I got to thinking about how tonight, because that word was so powerful. I believe there's people here that will never forget this night, including Karen. And especially Karen, right? You'll never forget what you heard tonight because something penetrated inside of you to make eternal change and bring you to a place of challenge. I know I was being challenged through it. And I believe you got to hear a world leader on prayer and prayer in the end times tonight. And so I'm honored to have had this opportunity to have her speak at this church again. Amen. But tonight was special. You hit a vein tonight that's just your calling. And it was just a heart-to-heart release. And so, one of the most powerful messages I've heard you do. It was great. Now, Father, seal the Word in us. Draw on us for prayer. Cause to place within the people's hearts here a desire to come to morning prayer if they can, to come to all-night prayer if they can, and to literally take this as an opportunity to go deep into the things of the kingdom of God, to explore God's end-time kingdom. I was about to dismiss, but I don't want to throw this in as well. Back in around 1988, something like that, maybe before, I've told this story many times. I was praying in my recliner at home, and I got to Ezekiel 47 about the river of God flowing from the throne of God. And God said, if you'll trust me, I'll let you explore the river of God in the end times. And I found out all the exploration begins in prayer. It's a prayer exploration. From that, God opens up everything else. And so, God, if you're willing, if you're willing to go explore like that, you want to pioneer what God's doing, become a prayer person. And everything else will be laid out before you. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. We have more snacks available. Take home what you want to take home. Share the love of God. And we'll see you Thursday night. The latest. Be blessed.